Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Sarabjit Kaur, and today we will be discussing about World Water Day Conclave 2026, Industry for Water. Water scarcity is no longer a distant threat. It's a present reality. This World Water Day, we focus on a critical intersection, industry and water. As demand rises and resources shrink, the pressure on industries to rethink how they use water is growing stronger than ever. To understand this better, we have with us today Mr. Sumit Narayan, Joint Secretary, National Water Mission. Mr. Narayan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sarabjit, but unfortunately you didn't pronounce my name correctly.
Oh, apologies, sir. Let me know the pronunciation.
It's Sumant Narayan.
Sumant. Okay, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
So, team ne aapko naam diya tha. I'm really sorry for spoiling your first 2 minutes.
No worries, sir. Sir, I'll take the retake again from where I took your name.
Yes, please. Okay. Sorry.
No, sir, no worries. To understand this in more detail, we have with us today Mr. Sumant Narayan, Joint Secretary, National Water Mission. Mr. Narayan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sarabjit. Thank you, Akashvani, for having me today for this session. Thank you so much.
Mr. Narayan, undoubtedly, water is a very scarce and precious resource, and water conservation is an urgent need of the hour. With over 100 delegates with over 700 delegates from multiple sectors participating in the conclave, how can collaboration between government institutions, industries, research bodies accelerate the adoption of innovative water conservation technologies?
Pertinent question, Sarabjit, and thank you for flagging this. But even before we delve into this topic specifically, maybe the listeners might want to know the reason why as to this World Water Day is celebrated on the 22nd of March. Today we had the conclave, but the day is celebrated on March 22nd to raise awareness about the 2.2 billion people living without access to safe water and to advocate for sustainable water management. This was actually, if we go back in time, this was originally designated by the United Nations General Assembly in 1992. So we are going back in these many years. We've been celebrating for these many years. And today when we come to it, you've rightly posed the question that how can collaboration help us achieve better. Now, we would understand that water is not only used by a particular sector or a particular individual. There is agriculture, there is industry, there is domestic use as individual, then there is aquatic life, birds, all mammals. As they say, no, water is the elixir for life. Now, having said that, I think I've gone too long, Sarabjit. You'll have to. Sarabjit, I'm short on time, but ek bar aap 5:30, ek bar aap restart karo. I'll keep my answers short and sweet so that we end in quickly. Nahi to aapko dusra sawal puchne ka mauka hi nahi milega.
Sir, main aapse pehle sawal se hi dobara shuru karti hu. I don't think we need to repeat the introduction again. Will that be okay?
We don't need to.
All right. Yes, yes. Sir, I'll start with the question part again.
Okay.
Mr. Narayan, undoubtedly, water is a very scarce and precious resource, and water conservation is an urgent need of the hour. With over 700 delegates from multiple sectors participating in the conclave, in your view, how can collaboration between government institutions, industries, and research bodies accelerate the adoption of innovative water conservation technologies?
Thank you, Sarabjit. Thank you for asking a very pertinent question. Water, as we all know, is the elixir for life. Now, today, when we look at solving the challenges that we are facing as a nation, or for that matter, globally, and when we look at the World Water Day being celebrated across the globe, it serves as a reminder of the critical importance of fresh water and the urgent need for sustainable water management. Many of our audience would know that this Water Day was first celebrated in 1992 and the United Nations General Assembly had declared it. Now, coming specifically to your question about collaboration, as I already mentioned, water has different faces. And that sometimes as a water technical body, people start looking at water as either a gray water, green water, blue water. But I think, in my opinion, we need to look at it as one water. And until we collaborate in terms of if industry is using 3 to 5% of water, if domestic sector is utilizing almost 10%, if there is the need to have low-hanging solutions that are specific to water, we need a paradigm shift where industries and other stakeholders transition from water users to water stewards. And that is where the conclave highlights the growing convergence of departments, academia, industry, and all other stakeholders towards strengthening India's water security.
Mr. Narayan, taking cue from just what you said, you mentioned about water stewards. Now, industries are increasingly being encouraged to adopt recycling, reuse, and water-efficient technologies. What incentives, or if I may say policy measures, can further motivate industries to become active partners in water stewardship?
Again, Sarabjiji, thank you so much for this question, and it hits the nail on its head. Now, we understand that governments can come up with regulations, they come up with policy directions. But how many of us know that many industry chambers like FICCI, like ASSOCHAM, have voluntarily adopted water use efficiency targets in the last few months. And they are increasingly encouraging their member industries to kind of adopt and implement those very structures, those many targets, and take them forward in their industry. Not to forget that industries at the end of the day do look for their profit, and the balance sheet has to be in black, not in red. So how do they ensure that it remains profit-making as well as a sustainable future? That is where this conclave came into play today.
Mr. Narayan, the felicitation of winners of the Jal Shakti Hackathon at the conclave reflects the role of innovation and youth participation in solving water challenges. Now, at the policy decision-making level, what are we doing to encourage startups and young innovators to contribute to water conservation?
Gigi, you've asked a question that is so close to my heart. And R&D, I don't know how many listeners would be aware that this December 2025, the ministry had launched what is called as Jal Shakti Hackathon, wherein as a policy shift, what the government had done was to unshackle the R&D, one, from primarily being confined to or largely confined to public sector, two, largely focusing on research reports. That was being done until some time back. But now what the government has done is to revamp the entire framework for R&D, the government has encouraged, first of all, the government opened up this Jal Shakti Hackathon, wherein through a transparent online process, the government invited proposers from across the country. And you'd be happy to hear that around 3,000 proposals were received from startups, from MSMEs, from young innovators, from entrepreneurs. And each of them had so many specific solutions that are that could be low costing, that could be a solution that each of us as individual can adopt going forward. Now, having received those proposals, the government decided to encourage more and incentivize this hackathon. So what was done was through a rigorous process, these proposals were shortlisted. And today, the Honorable Minister gave away the felicitation award that was 1 lakh rupees. And 19 winners were shortlisted. Some of them were startups. Some of them were from academia and others. But we must understand that unshackling R&D was the biggest achievement for the government in the recent past.
Mr. Narayan, several key reports, including the 7th minor irrigation census and the 2nd census of water bodies, have been released during the conclave. Now, what's your take on this? How will such nationwide data collection exercises improve planning, monitoring, and efficient utilization of water resources?
Listeners, we all know that what gets measured gets done. With that underlying philosophy, if we were to understand that even though many organizations relating to water might be generating data, but can that data be utilized in an easy manner by all the, not only the policymakers, but even for that matter, researchers, by academicians, by industries. So the whole process is towards making data available in an easy format. And that is why not only these census reports were released, but I guess some of our listeners might have also noticed that a national water data policy also got released by the Honorable Minister today. All these are a step in that direction towards evidence-based policy making.
Mr. Narayan,
I've ended, Sarabji.
Sorry, sir.
Sorry.
Sir, do you allow me more time to ask more questions? Can I pose you one more question, please?
Last question, please.
Yes. Mr. Narayan, on the broader canvas of things, we'd like to have your expert comment on this. Can industrial growth and water sustainability go hand in hand?
Sarabjit, in my opinion, listening to the industrialists, the CXOs and the MDs who participated in today's deliberations, I now am of the firm opinion that these are going hand in hand. Many industries depend heavily on water, not only for their production or for their profits, for processing, for cooling, for cleaning. And therefore, any shortages can disrupt production and increase their costs. So therefore, today's conclave kind of formed my belief that these have to go hand in hand. We need to do much more to achieve this and increase our water use efficiency. I'll stop here if you permit, Sarabjit ji.
Sir, I'll just take the liberty of one very crisp answer from you, please. What is one urgent step industries must take right now towards water conservation?
So, Sarabjit ji, as I mentioned in my one of the earlier answers, that many targets have been adopted by these industries voluntarily. And I'll name a few. Regular water audits, reducing water footprint by 50% by 2030. Now, having committed to these targets, each stakeholder, each industry, be it thermal, which sometimes they say consumes one of the larger guzzlers of water, these sectors can lay down their specific steps as to how they want to achieve by 2027, by 2030, so that not only are these targets adopted voluntarily, but the people of the country start seeing the benefit. And by people, when I say, not only the citizens, but the industry people themselves.
Listeners,
so,
as
short
we,
answer. The short answer to your question would be to implement those voluntary targets adopted.
Theek hai, sir. I'll give the concluding line now.
Yes, please.
Listeners, as we come to the end of today's discussion, one thing is clear. Water is not just a resource, it is our responsibility. From industries to individuals, every drop counts and every action matters. The choices we make today will shape the future of water for generations to come. Mr. Sumanth Narayan, thank you very much for sparing your valuable time and sharing such insightful thoughts with us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sarabjit ji. Thank you, Akashwani. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.